Welcome to Georgia Focus. I'm John Clark on the Georgia News Network. The Georgia Public Library Service empowers libraries to improve the lives of all Georgians by encouraging reading, literacy, and education through the continuing support and improvement of our public libraries. Georgia's public libraries support lifelong learning, K-12 education, distance learning, workforce skills, and much more. Joining us today to talk about the work of the Georgia Public Library Service is Julie Walker, Georgia State Librarian and Associate Vice Chancellor for Libraries for the University System of Georgia. You're the state's librarian, so talk about what it means to be the librarian for the state of Georgia.
It's the best job in the world. I absolutely promise you that. I work with all 408 public libraries around the state, which is just so amazing and so rewarding because I get to see firsthand how important all of those libraries are to their communities. My agency is the Georgia Public Library Service, and we are a unit of the University System of Georgia, which is a wonderful place to be because the university system really values libraries and understands our work so well. So we're really happy to be a part of that family. And we are about 50 staff members who provide lots of services to the libraries. So, for example, we run the Pines Network, which is the automation system for most of the libraries around the state. We run the software and the hardware and the training and all the things that are associated with that. So the libraries don't have to do that individually. We have consultants for youth services, for continuing education for librarians and library staff, for IT. We run the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped for the state. Every state has one of those, so the Talking Books Library. So we mail out the Talking Books. We provide reader's advisory over the phone for individuals with visual disabilities or anyone who can't use traditional print materials. So that's a large service that we provide statewide. So that's our agency, and we really exist to support those 408 libraries and provide consulting services. One of the things we do is do training for the boards of trustees for all those libraries. So just many, many things that, and really anything that those libraries need from us, that's what we offer.
Are the libraries at the colleges or universities included, too, in your system?
They are not. Okay. Yeah, they're separate. Of course, we are related because we're all under the university system, but we are specific to public libraries.
Okay. That's why I asked that. I wanted to make sure that I had it all right. That's a lot of libraries. You know, I never forget the librarians at my local library growing up. And, you know, the roles that they played, because back then, I'm gonna date myself here, but, you know, back then we didn't have the internet. So we had to rely, you know, really heavily on them to help us out. And that's how we did all of our research for school and not just, you know, through school and then college as well. How have those roles changed for the local librarian that I'm talking about?
Such a good question. And when I started my career, I was one of those librarians who, you know, pre-internet days, and I was a reference librarian. So I answered a lot of questions in person and on the phone and helped people do research. And librarians still do that. I think one of the more important roles that our library folks have still is helping people understand and determine whether the information they're finding on the internet is valid. Because, as you know, anybody can put anything out on the internet, and a lot of it is not true and is misleading, and it's just not something upon which to base any research. So librarians still play that role, although it's certainly in a different medium right now. But there's still so much more that they do. So in thinking about traditional library services, of course, you remember story time, and that's still tremendous. Every year our numbers continue to grow as parents bring their children, I mean, from tiny little lap-sit story times for toddlers all the way through, we have now wonderful young adult programs where the kids, when I used to work in a library that was next door to a middle school, and every afternoon and in the evenings we did teen and young adult programming. So we still do a tremendous amount of programming, and especially during the summer. Summer Reading Club is still going strong. But now libraries are so much about technology, and particularly here in Georgia, we've always kind of been ahead of the curve in terms of technological advances for libraries. So librarians now do a lot of assistance with people using computers, whether it's creating their resume or applying for jobs or doing training courses. They have to learn how to use lots of different programs and assist patrons in whatever they need when they come in to use computers. Because I will say there are a lot of counties in Georgia where the public library is the only place for free internet access and free use of a machine. Yeah. We think, those of us in the metro area think of McDonald's and Starbucks and, right. and lots of places where you can go to get online. But in many, many counties in Georgia, the public library is it. So librarians are helping a lot with technology. We also are circulating materials in different formats. So now ebooks are tremendous yeah. here in Georgia. In the months since the first 3 months after the shutdown, between the middle of March and the middle of June, use of ebooks doubled from that same time last year, 50% increase as people started, you know, couldn't actually go physically to the libraries for a period of time, but they could go to the library's website and download for free and read their ebooks. So that's another thing that libraries continue to try to stay ahead of the curve and understand what patrons are looking for, whether it's the downloadable audiobooks or the actual ebooks to read on your Kindle or iPad. So a lot of our work has changed, and then a lot of the really good stuff has still remained the same.
Yeah, you know, to your point there about people depending on the library for their computer, you know, the people that maybe an older person, senior adult, they don't have a computer at home, or they're still learning a computer. They have to many times go to the library for that. How have you worked that out, you know, during the COVID pandemic when you've been closed for the most part?
That was really tough, because we did know that people relied on library computer access. The first thing we did, when really almost all of the libraries closed down fairly immediately in the middle of March, was to ensure that all of our internet passwords were taken away so that people could drive up into the parking lot, and if there was a password needed, we posted it in the parking lot so that people could come and use. And it was the numbers were absolutely amazing. One of the ones that kind of sticks in my mind is Tolliver County, which is a small rural mm-hmm. county in Georgia. And in 1 month's time, the population is only 1,700 people, and they had 450 people or logins using wow. their computer access in the parking lot. And I know that's not ideal, and it kind of broke my heart to think of students and other people having to sit in their car in a parking lot. But in some counties, that was the only access, and we really publicized that. We almost immediately had on our website a map, an interactive map, where you could click any dot and find out where the closest Wi-Fi yeah. access at a library was. So that was great. Another thing we did that I was so proud of almost immediately, and this was a function of working so closely with the university system, we began to hear that there were students who weren't brought back to campus after spring break and were trying to complete their coursework for the semester on their phones because they did not have a computer at home and they did not have any kind of device. So many of our libraries check out laptops.
Okay.
So even though they were closed, we worked with the universities to match students who needed a device with the closest available library laptop. And we arranged handoffs where we met the student and checked out a laptop to them for the remainder of the semester so that they could complete that coursework. And some of the notes we got back from the students saying, "You saved my life," were very rewarding. And I think that was a great way to immediately pivot to a completely different service, but something that was needed right there in the moment.
Yeah, it sounds like you really adapted well. We've all had to adapt well, but certainly you guys, it had to be, you know, quite a task to do that. And are you opening up some of the libraries now? Where do things stand with that?
It's a little bit different all the way across the state, and we're actually surveying the libraries once a week to just make sure that we are aware of where everybody is in the process. Two-thirds of the libraries around the state are fairly much fully opened, and by that I mean that they are welcoming people back in the building. Now, there are some services that, for example, some of them are still not allowing the use of their study rooms because they're just not big enough for any kind of distancing. Some are having to limit the use of their computers just because they don't have enough staff to sanitize a machine after every single use. But gradually, every single week, they're reassessing and deciding what they can do. The remaining one-third are not open to the public to come in, but they are providing curbside service. Some of them are doing quick visits by appointment. There, a lot of them are doing remote reference, answering of reference questions or research, that sort of thing. So this is definitely a local decision. In Georgia, state law says that libraries are governed by boards of trustees, local boards of trustees that are appointed by the local funding agencies. And that's really a good thing because each community, the library administration and the trustees, know what the situation is in their specific county. Yeah. So they're working with their local governments, they're working with the Department of Public Health, and they're really monitoring the situation on the ground and then keeping us informed. And we're just supporting them at whatever phase of opening they're in. But we are seeing every week more and more gradual reopens. And we've had a couple that have had to step back because things in their counties have gotten worse. But I really appreciate and admire all these library leaders who are making these hard decisions and trying to do their very best to serve their public.
Yeah. And to that, and then you mentioned what was going on in Tolliver County. Then the community came out. And I remember that. I still got my hometown newspaper. I'm from Southwest Georgia, small town. And there's always articles in there about the library. There are pictures of people having story time for kids. And it's a sense of community in that. And, you know, even in smaller towns where, you know, the things are maybe fall on hard times, that library still has a sense of community. And it sounds like that's everywhere in Georgia, right?
It absolutely is. And it's the very best part of my job because I get to go when there's a ribbon cutting or a groundbreaking for a new library, and I get to go to some of their celebrations. Usually at the beginning of every summer, Superintendent Woods and I go around and kick off summer reading in various community libraries. And it is always so heartwarming because generation after generation, the libraries are so important to those communities. We also, my agency also does a Library of the Year award, and that's one of the most fun things I do when I go, and practically the entire town turns out to celebrate that they've been chosen as Library of the Year. But librarians just at heart care so much about their communities, and I've been so impressed with some of the ideas that they've done. Some of them are, instead of, since they can't bring the children in to do little craft programs, they're making little craft kits and handing them out in the parking lot and then doing an online craft where the kids can follow along. And we've gotten celebrities to do readings online on the like Facebook Live pages and things like that, little story times like that. So they're really working hard. Some of them have done a really cute thing called a story walk in like local parks where they are posting the pictures and the words for a story and the families can walk from station to station and do a story walk. So the creativity just amazes me.
Who was the Library of the Year for 2020? Or have you picked
it? We have not, for 2019, which we awarded, at the end of the year, and it was the Okefenokee Regional Library System that's based in Waycross.
Okay.
And we had a wonderful celebration in January to give them that award. They are a regional system, so it covers several counties, and each one of them is so in tune with their own community and just, as you said, they're a community hub. They're so beloved. And we were just so impressed that each one of the fairly small libraries down there just meant so much to their patrons and really worked hard to give them what they needed at that moment.
Wow. I'm glad you got to do that in person, and hopefully you'll do the same thing for 2021, you know, when you do that.
I certainly hope so, because it is just a wonderful thing to do. Yeah, we will open up nominations in October, and anybody in the state is welcome to nominate their library. We also do a Librarian of the Year and a Library Champion of the Year. We'll be soliciting nominations.
Today we're discussing the work of the Georgia Public Library Service, and we're talking with Julie Walker. She is Georgia State Librarian and Associate Vice Chancellor for Libraries for the University System of Georgia. Julie, I'm one of those people that I like the books. I just can't get used to, you know, online books and, you know, things like that. A lot of people do, but I love those books. I love feeling books and I love reading books, and I'm usually reading about five at a time. You can't replace the books in the library. I love seeing those. Do you hear that from a lot of people? Does that mean we're old when we say that? Something like that?
You know, it really, really doesn't. People our age, and I'm the same way as you. I've got a stack of books sitting right in front of me here. I'm taking advantage of the curbside service at my library to drive through and get my books. And we really aren't seeing that people are going away from books. Some people do both. I'm kind of a both person. I mostly read a traditional book, but I love my e-books for when I'm traveling and don't want to take a big stack on the airplane. And I don't think it's just people of a certain age, because I have friends who are young, who are college students and a little bit out of college, and a lot of them still really want that feeling of the print on paper in their hands. So our libraries are doing both. That creates a challenge for libraries, sure, because now we feel like we need to buy in both formats. So it stretches our budgets that we have to buy both the ebook format and the traditional book format, but I'm happy that both of them are still wildly popular.
Yeah. I have a lot of authors on this show, particularly history and things like that. And my rule is I have to read the book first, and I'm a slow reader. It takes me a while because, you know, I have a deference to the author, and I enjoy learning about that, especially about the state of Georgia. So I have all these books stacked up in my office and in my house for people I've interviewed, but I still love that book. I love getting that book all the time, and I start reading it right away. And I've learned so much stuff, you know, by doing it that way.
That sounds like a great part of your job.
Oh, it is. I love it. I absolutely love it. And that's why I'm always reading so many. It takes me forever. Yeah, so... You know, we've been talking about traditional stuff you do as far as books, publications and all, but you do some other things too. You're working with the census collection for 2020. Talk about what you're doing there.
We are. We've been part of the Complete Count Georgia committee from the outset, because we realized, and other partners around the state realized, that the library is one of the most trusted institutions in America. That is proven over and over again in a lot of national surveys. So we felt that the libraries would be an excellent place for people to come who certainly don't want somebody to come knock on their door and didn't trust other ways of completing the census. So the legislature in of the previous session allocated $1 million for us to put extra computers in the library specifically for census completion. Now, of course, we closed down right there in March for a while, and that hindered those efforts somewhat, but our libraries, again, have been getting really creative and have been offering people to come in to use those stations only, or have been using some of the iPads that they purchased to go out into the community in parks or in parking lots and helping people complete that census form, because we realize how important the census is to Georgia and to every single county in Georgia, and we wanted to be as helpful as we possibly could.
Yeah, does that impact what the libraries, the census, you know, various communities have any impact on you and your budget and things like that?
It definitely will. All those numbers come together to determine what kind of funding we get, and a lot of our state funding is divided up by population. So it's going to be really important for all of our counties to get an accurate count and know how many people we'll need to be serving.
Yeah. Another thing that you do are polling places. My polling place is in a library, and you know, that's something else you do. That happens pretty much statewide. Then you have a lot of polling locations, and with the election coming up, that'll be important.
It is important, and one thing that we have just done in the last couple of weeks, now that we have been understanding that libraries have been serving around the nation as spots for ballot boxes for people to come drop off their ballots. I have reached out to the Secretary of State's office just last week, and they are asking every county election official if they would like to place a ballot box outside of the library, because again, the library is a place where everybody knows where it is. It's usually in a convenient central location, and it makes perfect sense for a ballot box to be located there. And we've already had really good response, and I think you'll see more of those happening as well. We're involved in the electoral process at every level, because also when you register for a library card, it is a question on the application: would you like to register to vote also?
Okay.
So we go everything from registering to vote to being ballot box locations to being, as you said, polling locations.
So you still do the library. Are there the traditional library cards? Or you do them online now or something? Yeah.
You can do both. Can do both. And we are actually right now rolling out a statewide e-card. Mm-hmm. So even if people can't go and apply for a traditional library card, they can go online, apply for an e-card, which gives them access to all the downloadables, the audio, the e-books, as well as to the Galileo databases, which are so important and are shared amongst the university system and the public library. And for example, there's a database on there called Learning Express, which provides lesson plans. And right now, when people are struggling with trying to do at-home learning and remote school, these lesson plans have just proven to be so valuable. So the use of that has just shot through the roof since this shutdown happened.
Okay, I have to ask this. Do you still have fines if you don't return your book on time?
We do, and that is such a topic of discussion in libraries right now. We have one system in Georgia that last year discontinued all library fines.
Really?
And that was the Chattahoochee Valley Library System that's based in Columbus. It encompasses several counties, but the headquarters is in Columbus. And they decided to go fines-free last year. So they're our pioneer, and we hear from them periodically so they can keep the rest of the libraries posted on how that is going for them. We all in the library profession realize that fines create a barrier to use, and we don't like that at all. Now, right now, a lot of our libraries just rely on that money. They couldn't pay their staff and keep the lights on without it, but we continue to explore the possibility of what it would take to replace that funding so that all of our libraries could be fine free.
I won't ask you what the largest fine you've ever known is. I won't ask you that one. I want to, but I'm not going to ask you that. So what else do we need to know about libraries? I've learned a lot. This is great. What else do you guys, what am I missing so far?
I mean, there is just so much, and it's the things that our agency gets to be involved in are great. For example, we do an IT boot camp every year. Of course, this year it will have to be virtual, but in normal times, we bring the IT people from every library in the state up to a state park, and they spend 4 days just doing all their geek things and sharing ideas and best practices and learning from each other. And so our libraries in Georgia are a wonderful community. We are very tight-knit. We stay in constant communication. And one thing that I really want to say is we are such great libraries in Georgia because we have such fabulous support from the state of Georgia. Our legislature really appreciates and values the libraries. And when part of my job is to be down there at the Capitol talking to them about our funding requests. And they're just so responsive. They really care about their libraries. They understand the value in their community of their library, and they take really good care of us. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons we're great. We were the first state in the country to have broadband internet access at every library, and there are still a lot of states that do not.
Yeah.
And, you know, in 159 counties, that's really important. So we're very proud of that, and we're really appreciative of both the local support and the state support that we get.
If people want to access the resources of the library now, I know you talked about it earlier, but reiterate that, because I know people are, you know, they may feel a little lost without it. I can't go to the library. You know, even school kids are starting back up. Reiterate that again, how people can access the resources for the library and stay in touch until you can open back up.
Oh, I hope that they will. I would recommend that anyone go to our website, which is www.georgialibraries.org, and that is the main site, and we pull together all of the resources from the entire state. We have a specific section on our website, which will pop up pretty much as soon as you access it, that gives all of the current resources, all of the things that we're offering online, all of the status of each library, whether they're open and what they're offering. And then every library has its own website where you can check what ebooks you can download, what databases you can access, and then they will also list hours and curbside service and all the different things that are currently happening now. So I think we do a really good job with our online access. I will say one thing I didn't mention when we were talking about ebooks. Last year we were allocated some funding from the governor's office, which was fantastic, to create an ebook library for children. It's called eRead Kids, and you can access that from our website or from any libraries in the state, because it's a statewide program with electronic books for kids. And, you know, you see little kids all the time with their iPad, and it's great. They're playing games, but if they're able to read on those iPads, we just think that's a wonderful thing to help prepare them for school, to help reinforce that importance of reading. So I would encourage any parents of small children to check out eRead Kids. It's a really wonderful resource.
Julie, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. I can tell that you do think you have the greatest job in the world, and it comes across that you absolutely love your job, and you guys seem to be doing just a wonderful job for the library. So thank you so much for talking with me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it, and I hope that you will continue to visit your library and encourage everybody else to as well.
That is Julie Walker. She is Georgia State Librarian and Associate Vice Chancellor for Libraries at the University System of Georgia. She's been talking with us about the Georgia Public Library Service, and you can find out more about them at georgialibraries.org. We thank Julie for being our guest today. And as always, I thank you for listening. And if you have questions or comments about today's program, you can feel free to email me, John Clark at GeorgiaNewsNetwork.com. I'll talk to you next week here on Georgia Focus.